If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light and sound of the One Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks, or Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Training, Testing, Preparing, Positioning. Your entire life is all about that. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into conscious divine attunement and alignment. Take another deep breath and reach inward and upward and connect with your breath. Remember that breath was given you by the Supreme Spirit. The Spirit of Life is what endowed you with breath and life and sentiency. Just be aware that every time you breathe, the Holy Spirit is breathing you. The Holy Spirit is animating the movement of intelligence through your mind, the experience of sensation through your senses, the experience of vitality and energy through your entire biosphere. You of yourself do nothing. It is the Spirit, the light and sound and love of the living divine that animates all forms. Every name and every form is of the one and only divine Spirit. So let me ask you, how available are you to Divine Spirit? What does being available to Divine Spirit mean to you? Does it have any meaning at all? Do you ever think of yourself, your life, as an instrument and means for the Divine Spirit to operate through? Can I think of that? Can you recall a time when you were fully aware of that greater self taking over and operating through you? If so, what was that like for you? How did that feel? Moreover, what happened as a result? Can you recall what it was specifically that evoked and called forward that greater part of yourself? Remember that popular song, I think Mariah Carey sang it, The Hero in You, remember that? Sometimes it takes some dramatic event, the need to instantly address some crises, a call to respond to the needs of another that somehow calls that heroic part of yourself forward. It can also appear very quietly as someone, perhaps, that you encounter on the pavement that's asking for some money buy dinner. Or perhaps someone that arrives unexpectedly on your doorstep. Or it could just be someone asking you if you could do something to help them. So that hero in you is but another metaphor for your true divine nature. Your higher self, soul, or Atma. All names are the same thing. The Atma, the divine spirit that you truly are, has no off and on switch. Other than your ego mind. For God, it is always yes, yes, yes. Only the ego mind weighs the consequences and acts only if it has some benefit. Notice that whenever that divine nature responds, it is always immediately, without thought, without any plan or consideration, and without any self-reference at all. When that greater part of you is flowing through you, there is no self-consciousness. There is no sense of a separate self at all doing anything. And that way you can tell at the response. In retrospect, you can tell at the time you are the very embodiment of the selfless service. But when you look back in retrospect, you can determine that that was a response originating from the divine nature. So that greater self can work miracles. That was the self Jesus was referring to when he said, I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within me that does the work. You know, when that greater self is manifesting, I think we've seen it. A mother can lift a 2-ton vehicle off of her child. One can bilocate, can manifest whatever is required to meet the need. I know a woman in Mount Shasta, this is not too long ago, that used to sit and praise God and stroke the few dollars that she had. She really didn't have any money. She had a few dollars. And she would sit and stroke them with one hand and praise the Lord for her abundance. And as she did, the money would manifest sufficient to pay her bills because she had no income. She manifested out of her gratitude, her surrender, her devotion, and her consecrated availability 100% to Spirit. And Spirit supplied everything for her. Everything. From time to time, I tell you stories about those things. Heidi Baker, that has a tremendous ministry, she and her husband Roland, in Mozambique. Every single day, the Holy Spirit has to manifest the food sufficient to feed the hundreds of orphans that they have picked up out of the gutters and the streets and child trafficking and God knows what all, and have given them a home. But they have no finances. Everything has to come from the divine spirit. In fact, she said, if God doesn't show up, we don't eat. But there's never been a time that God didn't show up because they have 100% reliance on God. One time when cholera was threatening to take out almost everyone in their area, the Holy Spirit came, and as Heidi held these very sick children in her arms, they were each healed. 98 children that were dying of cholera were miraculously healed. There are so many resurrections that her children are doing, praying over people, so many deaf ears being opened, so many blind eyes being seen that they've lost count. One time when it was asked, How many of you children have resurrected someone from the dead? Every hand of her hundreds of children went up. These things are happening today, right now. Right now, they're happening. But if you're not in those inner loops and circles of information, you'll never hear about them. You don't hear about things like this on the news, do you? No, of course not. The world is worldly. It's all about the ego. It's all about promoting illusion. It's all about fooling you that you have some measure of control over your life. I'm sorry to tell you, but you have none. Your ego is hopping on one leg about a quarter of a hairbreadth from falling into the pit. But it will never succeed, nor will any ego-driven agenda ever succeed. Oh, it might look like it is for a while, but every ego-acquired gain will be lost because the divine alone gets the glory. Okay? Not the falsehood. Truth alone is supported by the universe. Dharma alone is supported by the universe, and not the opposite. So whatever is required to meet the need that is being presented before you will be supplied. Wherever you fall short, the divine spirit within you will bridge you through to perfection and success. It may not be the outcome and agenda that the world or the ego expects, but it will be a perfect, lasting, divine outcome. And that's the unlimited power of the divine spirit operating through its physical vehicles. You may not have the physical means at hand, the money, the energy, the health, or whatever, but if you act in faith, a pure heart, whatever is required will appear. I tell you that from my direct experience. So remember, your body is really not yours. It is on loan to you. And the rent you must pay is service. Service to all life. Your physical body, your life, is the physical vehicle for the divine spirit to operate through in this world to give divine love visible form here. How else can the divine spirit manifest except through the hue, man, form? Hue is an ancient word for God. Hue, man, is the God-man. The God thinker, the one that can know the God self and be the God self. So the physical vehicle provides formless love, wisdom, and creative intelligence, a means for tangibly manifesting on earth. And remember here, your true divine immortal self is the one divine spirit, also called Atma, or God, or the Divine Self, or the Holy Spirit. All of these are one and the same. Therefore, your entire series of innumerable physical immersions in time, space, and causation are designed to dissolve the personal egoic self into limitless divinity. To be pure divine love, which is another way of saying the return of the mind to Christ or the return of the mind to truth. Same thing. Christ, truth, God, Satyam, Satchitananda, all one and the same. Now, two words here define the major difference between between the two selves, egoic and divine. And those two words are contraction and expansion. Contraction is always a form of giving in to fear. It is the shrinking. Whereas God is expansion itself. Divine life is expanding life. Contraction takes the form of resistance, which we spoke about recently. And divine life takes the form of acceptance or embracement. Or we could look at it as the Course in Miracles does, as fear or love. But contraction, resistance, fear, they're all manifestations of the false self. Whereas expansion, embracement, acceptance are all manifestations of your true self. So the false or egoic self is selfish. Selfish. And the true or divine self is selfless. The egoic self has always has outcome agendas and motives. The divine self has none. It is pure. It is unconditional. The ego self has a reason and a season. The divine self knows neither reason nor season. You know, that bhajan we sang with Sai Baba was, there's no reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. One time he turned to us in an interview, Sai Baba did, and somebody asked him when Christ was born. And he turned and said, our Christ is neither born nor dies. Our Christ is eternal love, which has neither birth nor death. So the very Christ principle we speak of is not else but that selfless, pure, divine love of the divine spirit when it flows through the human instrument, which is the only instrument designed to do that. The human is the only one designed to speak as God, live as God, love as God, serve as God, and be divine through and through. So that's why you're here. You don't have any other purpose to be here. All the rest is mood making, mentalizing nonsense. So your entire series of physical embodiments are to root out that illusion that you are separate from God, that you're separate from the Holy Spirit, that you're separate from love. Everything is to awaken you beyond these illusions. So the egoic self takes the form of the lower mind, the conceptual, conventional, conditional mind, along with its worldly thought system, often called the carnal mind. The divine self has no form but purity. Purity is divinity. Divinity is spirituality. Spirituality is pure. Divine, love, unconditioned. And all spiritual disciplines focus upon recognizing, dissolving, and transcending the ego mind. Only then is the physical vehicle 100% available to the divine flow. Sai Baba has told us that as long as we are operating through his grace and we're not standing in the way of that through ego, that his darshan, his blessing, his grace flows through us to affect everyone. That would mean all light workers, not just people who call themselves his devotees. because he's the spirit that inhabits all names and all forms. So when we are acting in the name of the Lord with a selfless, pure heart to serve, his energy, his darshan, his grace, his blessing flows through you into the situation and dissolves all the negativity through grace. You just have to stay aligned and attuned and have that divine flow unimpeded by your ego. And you are a conduit for miracles, for transformation. Everywhere you go, people get healed, people get touched, people get transformed, people get awakened. Situations that are potentially dangerous all of a sudden peter out. The terrorist threats all of a sudden get foiled. The deceitful action all of a sudden gets outed. Nothing but the truth can stand in your presence when you're a conduit of the divine. You're the biggest transformative agent on the planet when you are available for that flow to go through you. And Baba said that when the ego steps in, he steps back. And you're hopping on one leg again. Good luck. But the minute you put aside the ego, recognize it, and boot it out, again, his flow of grace goes through you. So only when we are devoid of the sense of selfishness and self-grasping and the avariciousness of the self and the greeds and the lusts and all that stuff that goes along with this false self and its neediness, only then is the physical vehicle 100% available to the divine flow. But that doesn't mean you wait until you're 100% available. You get busy now. And more, you know, it's like a pipe that's clogged with mud and stuff. The more the pure water goes through that pipe, the more the mud and stuff is washed out until eventually just, you know, there's an unimpeded flow of the water. So you can look at it that way. Through constantly sourcing, and being sourced through by the divine, that conduit becomes increasingly pure. And, you know, such divine instruments as Jesus, and Buddha, Sai Baba, John Roger, Mother Teresa, St. Paul, St. Francis, Amici, and countless others, I think, are really excellent examples of egoless, pure instruments and embodiments of the Divine Spirit. They have no thought of themselves. They're able to do superhuman things. Superhuman things. Why? Because there's nothing but God operating through them, so they don't have the usual limitations of the flesh. And yet every one of these individuals underwent many lifetimes of training, testing, preparing, and positioning in order to become a holy habitation of the divine. So your entire life is about preparing you for eternal labor. I hope you enjoy eternal labor because we're here to be prepared to serve as divine co-workers. So from human life, you will ascend into superhuman life. From superhuman to divine life. And you'll be serving throughout cosmic creation and beyond. You'll be serving and going beyond both the cosmos and creation itself because they're both created of the mind, of consciousness. And you will transcend consciousness into awareness of pure being as you merge into the absolute it of itself. Or you step forward and serve without that total merger. Or you merge and emerge as the need arises. Because at that level, you have a free operative. So how can you tell when you are operating out of the ego? and when the divine spirit is operating. Well, I think two words define the difference between ego actions and divine flow, and they are this: burden or bliss. To the lower self or ego, doing, I would say, anything for another is a burden. Unless, of course, there's a personal payoff, such as money, or some personal pleasurable return or benefit. So the ego always wants to know, what's in it for me? How much will you pay me for doing such and such? Or, I'll do this for you only if you do this for me. You know, there's never a sense of selfishness. Selflessness is always me, me, me. My. So there's always a personal agenda and a payoff in mind whenever the ego is operating the physical vehicles. However, when the divine spirit is operating the physical vehicle, there is only a sense of freedom, a sense of flow and bliss. And that bliss or joy is the very reward and evidence of selfless service. You have the most tremendous joy. It's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You actually experience the joy that comes when you give of yourself. You always feel so good. I often tell people, if you're depressed or in a bad mood, get over yourself and find somebody that's depressed and in a bad mood and do what you can to brighten their day. And your whole mood will shift in an instant. And you'll begin to feel joy, that joy come back. I think it's impossible to experience joy without service. I really, really don't believe you can have any modicum of joy as long as you're just living for yourself and your ego and your personal possessions or whatever, your own agenda. There's no joy in that. So ego will always have a delay factor. It says, no, later, not now. Maybe if I have the time or the money or whatever. You know, if I have that, well, we'll see. I'll let you know. But it's never an instant response from the heart. It's that consideration from the mind that's calculating outcome. So be aware of that. Watch it. The divine spirit, however, responds to true need, to the cry of despair, to the evocative prayer of the heart, sometimes silent, of anyone or any place, anywhere, any time, without any reservation or restrictions at all. Now, those of us who call ourselves light workers or light bearers, we must keep a vigilant eye upon our attitudes and check our motives to be sure to nip any egocentric tendency in the bud. If you don't, it will grow into a thorn bush and it will strangle out every evidence of your divine life. Don't allow any toehold into your life of any form of negativity. Just don't allow it. My spiritual mentor, John Roger, and I think the mentor of many of you who listen to me, has always taught his initiates and ministers, of which I am one, to notice any slip from an attitude of selfless service. We have a Melchizedek vow and commission that we are pledged to, which is this. We are to serve regardless of race, creed, color, situation, circumstance, or environment. And I know John Roger has perfectly modeled this policy of selfless service all the decades that I've known him. He is always available to serve immediately. All else gets put aside: his personal comfort,
his preferences, his basic self, the objections of his lower self, his personal feelings, his needs, and so forth. And he's on to it. Whatever it is, he's working it through with you, spiritually, and also doing whatever he can physically as well. And when John Roger, or any God-realized person, says, I am with you always, or I am always with you, you can know that that is so if you're working with them. They have become one with divine spirit. So, of course, they are always with you. Only the God-realized, really, can say that. And you experience this with Sai Baba, who teaches us to love all and serve all. That all life is one, so be alike to everyone. He tells us that God alone is the indweller in every heart. And he also says, I am the indweller in every heart. I am neither God nor guru. I am you. I am you. So that's how he experiences himself as you. So when a person is 100% pure, it's because one has merged the individual sense of identity and consciousness and mind into the divine spirit, into the divine light and sound currents of God, which manifest as pure spirituality or divine love. So one has become the Holy Spirit, which is also called the Ek, E-C-K, which is a Sanskrit Hindi word that means one. Ek Onkar. It's a Sikh mantra that means Ek One On Is Kar. Ek Onkar. God is one, basically. Kind of hard to translate exactly in English. But the meaning is, God is one. So there is no longer any other operating through the physical form when you've become one with the Holy Spirit, the Ek, the Atma. And this is the goal of every spiritual approach, to become a pure vehicle for the divine flow of light and sound, which in combination become divine love. And so your training goes on 24/7. Whether you're awake or sleeping or dreaming, you are being trained upon many multidimensional levels. What? To contain more divine energy. You have to be conditioned like an athlete. Your nervous system has to be purified of karmas. And the bumps and jumps and knots and all that misqualified thoughts and words and deeds have laid upon your nervous system, these have to be purified, cleansed, which is why you go through all the various kriyas and purifying actions, all the various moods, all the various highs and lows and ups and downs and pains and confusions and dark nights of the soul and peaks and valleys and pits and everything you go in and out of. That's all part of the purification of the consciousness so that it can become illumined by the divine spirit. So don't expect to have an easy, pleasant life if you're on the spiritual path. It hasn't been called a razor's edge for nothing. It is a difficult life. It's a life that turns you every which way but loose. And if this is your last lifetime, when you are finishing it all up, expect everything. Because at some level that you're not consciously probably remembering, you said, give it to me, I want to complete in this lifetime. Many of you are going through dire diseases right now. Many of you have lost everything you own. Some of you are homeless. Some of you have lost literally everything. Family, friends, money, reputation, everything. But know that you chose to go through this. Because nothing comes to you unbidden by your own higher nature. Everything is a product of your release, a product of your karma, and a product of your release. It's the means by which you are setting yourself free. You have to experience the things you've set in motion. You have to shine them away through divine awareness, or you have to work through them as karma. You can move through them as grace, which makes them a lot easier, or you can be a hearty eater of the plate of your karma. But you chose the meal. You loaded up the plate. So you're being tested 24/7, whether you're awake or sleeping or dreaming, to see if you can hold that higher consciousness. It takes tremendous strength and conditioning to be positive in a negative world, to be loving in a world full of people who are full of ego, hatred, and grievance, nastiness. The ego's vicious, ugly, and nasty. So to live in a world where this is praised as goodness, darkness is praised as virtue, and virtue is praised as hate. So you're in a topsy-turvy, wacko world that's like a psychotic ego on steroids. And you're asked to be the Christ. You're asked to be the beloved. You're asked to be the one that loves and sees through the illusion and beyond it to the face of God, to the face of the beloved, to the face of Christ. And you're being called to discern the difference between darkness and light, between the unreal and the real, between death and immortality, between the false egoic self and the true divine self. You're to discern between selfishness and selflessness. So you're being prepared to expand your field of usefulness, your field of service, so that you can embrace, encompass, and love, and serve an ever-widening sphere of influence, of beings, and worlds. At some point, you become the presiding presence that operates through a galaxy, that operates through great cosmic programs, or merges into the absolute beyond creation itself. So if you like to work, you'll be put to work, because God knows there is plenty of work on every dimensional plane. There's service that's required. So you're being positioned exactly at this time where you need to be to become the purest possible divine instrument. That's why whatever situation you're in, the Bible tells you to praise God. To praise God, whatever situation you're in. Sai Baba goes on even more strongly. He says, if you lose one arm, thank God that you have one remaining. If you lose your eyesight, thank God you have your ears that you can hear. If you lose your ability to walk, thank God you still have your mind you can think. If you lose your mind, thank God that you're in God and you can't get lost. You can never be separated from God. You are one with God, eternal and forever. The only thing that looks like it gets sick, dies, gets maimed, gets blown up, gets destroyed, is the dream field. The illusion. You can never be touched. You are one, indistinguishable from the divine spirit, like sweetness and honey. like air in the atmosphere, like wetness in water, like that. Your truth is indistinguishable from the divine. So you're going to be tested. You know, if you're going to hang a picture on the wall, you make sure that nail is going to hold before you put a glass-framed heavy picture up, don't you? So you're going to be tested. Who's testing you? You are testing you, okay? You are training you. You are testing you. You are preparing you. You are doing everything, not as the ego, limited human self, but as divine spirit. You are preparing your vessel, your vehicle, for eternal service in the many mansions of the Supreme Creator. So the tests don't come announced. They come when you least expect them. In a way, you often least expect and least welcome. They come when you personally seem to lack the wherewithal to respond. And your lower nature will always cozy in with self-comfort. I don't feel like going there. Yeah, but did you ask Divine Spirit? Did you ask inwardly if it was in the divine flow for you to do whatever? You have to learn to tune in and ask. Don't just assume. Don't just write in on the first thought that comes into your mind or the first feeling that arises. Because with the ego, it's always, I don't feel like it. Later. I don't want to be bothered. I'll forget it. Who cares? That's ego. So you'll usually be asked, for example, to do something which is beyond your comfort, beyond your means in some manner. So will you say yes anyway? Will you go for it in faith anyway? Will you trust that that which is greater within you will meet you where you fall short? You got to have a little bit of a track record of experience to develop that kind of faith. You got to keep jumping off that cliff blindfolded until you realize you're always caught, you're always met, or you're taught how to fly. Always. Did you ever have those dreams where you fall? Did you notice you never ever fell? Or you hit the ground? I mean, you felt like you were falling, but you never hit the ground? Well, what is that? That's when you go into what's called the void or the Mahasuna. It's the great etheric realm that guards the soul. It guards the soul realm from the premature entrance of unprepared consciousnesses. Remember the poppy field that everybody fell asleep in before they came to the Emerald City of the Great Oz? Remember in the... Follow the yellow brick road, you know, that one, I forget the name of it, somewhere over the rainbow or something. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Before they could get to the Emerald City, they had to go through Mahasuna, they had to go through the etheric realm where you fall asleep. You go unconscious. This is the great unconscious. And when you're in that realm, you'll have several feelings. One is dizziness. You'll go in to meditate and you'll feel like you've fallen inside yourself, or you have a dream on the inner plane, so you feel like you're falling and you wake up with a start in your bed, or you feel dizzy. Sometimes people go into meditational states and they'll feel really dizzy, sick to their stomach, and it'll bring them out of meditation. They'll go into fear. That's to test you, because you have to be fearless to see the face of God. You have to have courage, which in French means strong heart. You have to have a strong heart. So the lion was cowardly. He had to get a heart. And each one of these characters in this film was a metaphor for the things that we need in order to go across that realm of the unconscious that draws you into sleep and unconsciousness, so that you in fact can enter the Emerald City and stand before the Great Oz. And you find that you've always been home. You've never left home. except in a fairy tale, except in a dream, except in some figment of your imaginative mind that dreamt of separation and imperilment. But sometimes you have to walk down that yellow brick road and go through all these tests and trials and what have you until you awaken. Until you awaken yourself. So it's all, again, an orchestrated drama of a return to the self that in highest truth we never left. It's an awakening from the dream of separation. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That wherever you may ascend or descend to, God is there. God is there. And if you should ever fall into those hellacious states that some people fall into through their own self-indictment and their expectation of punishment and judgment, if you ever find yourself in a pit that looks like hell, call out to the Lord, call out to Jesus, and instantly he will come. He will be there. Instantly. So never believe the outer. Only believe God. Everything you see with the body's eyes is a lie. It's smoky mirrors, it's magic beans, it's silly things, it's stage props. But not one iota of it is real. Everything that you experience is something you have made real for yourself by your own thinking. So likewise, you're affected by nothing but your thoughts. That comes out of the Course in Miracles. I am affected by nothing but my thoughts. I have given everything all the meaning that it has for me. Go into the Course in Miracles and really study it. Take the time to devote an entire year and do every single lesson in the Course in Miracles, one lesson a day. That will shift your mind from ego mode to access the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will change you and you're thinking from within as you do the 365 lessons, one for each day in the Course in Miracles. And don't try to understand them. But be with them, however you are. Do the best you can with them and allow the Holy Spirit to complete the work. The Bible says that Christ is faithful to complete the work that he has begun in you. You've got to trust that. Your little willingness, like Baba said, your little willingness, you take one step towards me, I will take 1,000 towards you. I have the love of 1,000 mothers towards you. That's what Sai Baba says. So ours is to take the first step, and the next, and the next, and to stay present here and now, taking the step before us. Then God assures the outcome. God assures the success. And Baba said there is no possibility of failure. You cannot fail. He has come to assure that you will all be liberated, to have confidence in that, to have confidence that the golden age is reoccurring, to have confidence that you are among the very, very special few that earned a birth at the time of a major avatar. You earn the right through countless lives of merit to take a birth at the time of the greatest manifestation of God upon this earth. Why? Because mankind is more developed now. So more divine power could come through an instrument and not fry everybody to a crispy critter. So you're among the most fortunate of all beings to have an incarnation at this time. And soon the third incarnation of Sai Baba will be made known. So you'll be here for Prema Sai Baba, and you'll live in a golden age. If you want to, if that's your resolve, you will be here for that. So those tests, they keep coming, and they come unannounced, and they'll always stretch you beyond your comfort, beyond your means in some manner. So will you say yes? Notice something. I'm going to take just the Bible here for the example because it's such a good one. Notice how God never picks anyone for great things that has it all together. It says in the Bible that God uses the foolish things to confound the so-called wise and the intellectual. He always picks the impaired, someone who's impaired in some way, the weak, the humble, the poor, the seemingly, by the judgment of the world, unholy, to work the seemingly impossible through. For example, Moses had a speech impediment. He also murdered an Egyptian and had to run for his life. Joseph was unjustly imprisoned because he wouldn't sleep with Potiphar's wife because he had integrity. So he was unjustly accused and thrown in prison. Daniel was thrown to the lions. And David was a child, and yet he was able to take out Goliath, the giant, with a single slingshot. But later on, he became an adulterer, he lied, and had the husband murdered. And yet, a greater king never lived. Why? Why? Because his heart was right with God. No matter what he did, he repented. He owned his weakness. He owned his misendeavors. So his heart was right with God. You know, we all screw up. We all do. We all have to be humble before God and pray that we'll have the strength and the fortitude to make good choices and to do the right thing. It's not easy in this world. It's always a test. And then Jacob was a deceiver. And then the woman at the well was a Samaritan whom Jesus wasn't even supposed to speak to. And yet she was the first person that Jesus chose to spread his message. She was the first evangelist. And on and on. So no one had it all together. No one was perfect. But all said yes and stepped out in faith. And God made each one his perfect instrument. Each one. So part of your training is to learn to always say yes to divine spirit. Just make sure it's divine spirit, okay? And to trust and know that with God, with Christ, with divine spirit, nothing is impossible. Whatever you set out to accomplish will have a beneficial outcome. You know, when I said, be sure it's divine spirit, Those of us who are such good-hearted Americans, you know, we're a very charitable country, America. I think probably we give more, what would you say, charitable service and goods than any other nation in the world. We're always giving. We're a very generous nation. So when we Americans went over to be with Sai Baba in India, we felt sorry for the villagers, you know, the little beggars and the urchins and everything. And, of course, we would give them money, and they would very quickly get, you know, realize that they could use us. They could, you know, ply their trade. And Sai Baba said that they actually, generation after generation, they follow the gurus and the holy places where tourists come, and they pray on them. And then they use the money for ill-gotten means, so buy cigarettes or drugs or alcohol, and it destroys lives and families and perpetrates this avariciousness in the form of the ego strategy to bilk unsuspecting, good-hearted tourists. So Baba said never to give money to the beggars, but instead we could buy them clothing and we could buy them food. But that was it, nothing else. Well, one day I went out in the village, and very stupidly. I bought a loaf of bread for a little 5-year-old girl. And in my naivete, I told her to share it. Well, the next day I heard a little 5-year-old girl in the village had been killed. And it haunted me because I thought, my God, I told her to share that loaf of bread. And probably the urchins around her were so hungry, they probably tore her apart to get to the bread. You see how you think? You don't think. You don't understand the nature of people. Another good-natured American had a well dug without really asking Sai Baba if it was a good idea, without really checking inwardly, not realizing that the villagers are very territorial. And so the well was dug in between two villages. Well, one village won't drink from the well of another village. That's just the way things are in that culture. So there was a great fight and a great brouhaha with the villagers from these two different villages fighting over who had rights to the well. And thus a great brouhaha and a great difficulty was created, and that unfortunate devotee created karma, because we're responsible for what we set in motion and what happens to people. So don't be foolish. The Buddha teaches that a good gift given to an undeserving person at the wrong time will give you bad karma. So you have to be in alignment with spirit. Is this really God's divine impetus? I find that when I'm being impulsed by the Holy Spirit, there's no mind, there's no thought. The spontaneous outpouring of my divine nature goes forth. But if I am operating out of a thought, well, I need to do this because, beware, that's usually the ego mind. Beware, that's usually the ego mind. The divine spirit is very spontaneous, and it's very heart-centered. It comes right from your core essence. When I say heart, I mean Atma, your Atmic presence, not your emotional heart, which tends to get you into mischief. So another important area is to never judge yourself or another, ever. Sai Baba said that to judge, you forfeit self-realization. You will actually forfeit and sabotage your opportunity to be realized in this life if you judge. You just have to end cycle on it. That will block the divine flow immediately, and it will feel awful as well. So here's what you do. Whenever a negative thought or judgmental thought or attitude or bad feeling, or somebody does something and you feel upset and offended and you start to try to build up grievance inside yourself, try to think about it and build up a cause, stop. The minute you feel that awful feeling, and immediately, forcefully exhale. Just throw that feeling out with a big exhalation. Throw it out with a forcible breath and say, take it, Lord. Take it, Jesus. Take it, Sai Baba. I don't want to hold any negative feelings towards anyone or anything. Fill me, Divine Spirit, with your love. Fill me with your purity. Fill me with your holiness. Fill me with pure love. And in my experience, about 3 or 4 of those breaths and that feeling is gone. But do it as many times as you need to until the feeling is gone, and make sure that you give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And don't let it fester in your mind. And pray with all your heart to help me to see only the good and the divine in all people and things, and to leave all the rest to God. Help me to see only the good and the divine in all people and things, and to leave all the rest to God. The Bible says, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. And the Lord doesn't judge. We judge ourselves. So that's why, let your judgment be that I am the Holy Son of God. I am forever one with the Father. I am a holy, pure, and sacred vessel of the Most High. I am divine love. I am forever the heart of God. I live and move and have my being in the heart of God. I rest in eternal peace in the embrace of the Beloved. I am the Beloved. I know that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So you know your heart is pure when all you see is the good and the divine and the holy. You don't notice anything else when the heart is pure. You can only see the impure, excuse me, from the impurity in your own heart. The impurity in your own heart is what you see mirrored in others as impurity. So let what you see determine what you're looking through. The body's ego eyes or the divine. And ask that God look through your eyes and be in your seeing and in your knowing and in your thinking and in your doing. And only God operates in you, through you, as you. And pray for the increase of divine love. Sai Baba has taught us that we should only ask God for greater love and greater devotion. And ask for pure love for God and for all beings, that your heart may be pure and your mind free of all motives, that you can say with all your heart, Thy will be done, O Lord. Thy will. Fill me with your spirit. Use me as your divine instrument to love and serve, that this life may reveal your presence and your love wherever I am. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Make me a temple of your love. And not too long ago, I saw a message from John Roger. He doesn't do much today. He mostly works on the inner planes. So to see a message from him was quite nice. But on Facebook, I saw that he posted, Be good, be holy. And I think that needs to be our mantra to ourselves. Be good, be holy. Let's go out chanting on I Hu. Take a deep breath. And now ask the Holy Spirit fill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. May you be baptized with the Spirit of the living God. May it fill you. May it sustain you. May it transfigure you from carnal flesh and carnal mind into immortal light and presence. And may you know that the highest extent that it would be for your highest good at this time. May all the beings of all the worlds have happiness and peace. May all know the bliss of their divine, authentic being. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.